Hey, busy brains. If you are feeling like your systems and solutions are just not sticking, I'd like to talk about absolute enduring growth. In today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about black and white thinking and how a lot of the time that only helps us short term. And I'm really not interested in short term results. Every so often, I will share tried and true ADHD hacks. But here on this podcast, as well as in my group coaching program, Mindful, my primary focus is on fostering those long-term results that empower you, regardless of whether I'm directly available to you as your coach. It's easy to feel frustrated along the journey of ADHD, but in Mindful and here on this podcast, we embrace the full spectrum of life with ADHD, acknowledging both the challenges and the triumphs. I want to tell you a little more about Mindful. In there, our community thrives on our collective journeys. Your unique experience would be an absolute valuable addition to all of our discussions, to our coaching calls, and I hope that you join us. Not only will you benefit, obviously, from the learning and the coaching that happens, but you'll also find a genuine sense of belonging in the community. So I hope that we can embark on the journey together. I invite you to be a part of the ADHD community, Mindful, where we will be prioritizing lasting growth and understanding over all else. Head on over to CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful, and I will be seeing you very, very soon. All or nothing thinking is only going to fuel yourself into more shame and guilt and self-loathing. That fuel, that energy, that negative self-talk is not the kind of energy that is going to propel you into achieving your dreams. Hey yo, busy brain, welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Black and White Shortcuts. I want to take a moment and thank you so much for your positive reviews. They have really helped even more people find this podcast. I love getting in my DMs all the stories of you finding the podcast, how you got here, who shared it with you. And so if you have not yet done so, thank you for following this podcast right now, for leaving a positive review, and for telling me what is working for you. What is it about this podcast that is inspiring you and that is helping you on your journey? That's going to help me know more what you most desire, in addition to give an insight to other people that haven't yet experienced the podcast to kind of propel them forward to finally press play and start taking back their life with ADHD. I was thinking of a good example to start with for this podcast, and I was reminded of a specific scene from Jim Carrey's The Grinch. One of my sisters does this scene very well, and she has since she was a little girl, but he receives this invitation from Cindy Lou Who to come to the Christmas party down in Whoville, and he's looking at his calendar, and he notices he has a very, very full schedule. Finally, he thinks to himself, well, if I did make some space, what would I wear? And then he's throwing things out of date, ugly, you know, going back and forth between all of his options. And just before he gets very frustrated, you hear a yodeler outside of his cave. And then that yodeler gets swept off the mountain. And all of a sudden, the Grinch is wearing lederhosen. And he looks at himself in the mirror and, that's it. I'm not going. And stomps off because he can't find something to wear. And we do this so much ourselves. And I love the visual of thinking about like our Grinch brain coming out every time we're using black and white thinking the same way that he did. He didn't have to have the perfect outfit. Not to mention the Grinch doesn't really even wear clothes. He's just a Grinch. And yet in his mind, because he didn't have something quote unquote nice to wear, he wasn't going to attend the party. Okay, silly but fun example to start off this episode talking about the cognitive distortion of black and white thinking that comes up so often with my clients with ADHD, in addition to my own life with ADHD, my kids with ADHD. Oh man, are we really good at all or nothing and black and white thinking. Let's start off by understanding the word cognitive distortion. These are internal mental filters or biases that often, almost always, increase our misery, they fuel our anxiety, and they make us feel essentially really bad about ourselves. The reason why we succumb to cognitive distortion a lot of the time with ADHD is, surprise, surprise, because of a dysregulation. But if you think of it through the context that the brain is constantly and continually processing tons of information, and so it's trying to make shortcuts. So instead of thinking things all the way through, it tries to just, you know, all or nothing it. It tries to lump a whole bunch of different ideas into one conclusion so that we don't have to actually go through the work that requires time. It requires energy for processing. It often requires some emotional stress and discomfort. And the brain and body doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want to put in the work. And so it just jumps to all or nothing thinking, because then the solution can be solved and it can be what it is. Unfortunately, the consequence of that is often really negative, and we start to feel very, very down on ourselves. And this is an intense form of negative self-talk. They are very unhelpful cognitive filters that are happening. Some shortcuts are okay, but this one in particular with all or nothing thinking really causes a lot more harm than it does good. So let's get specific. There's a lot of different cognitive distortions. Today we're going to be focusing on black or white thinking, all or nothing thinking, and a more technical term for that would be dichotomous thinking. Dichotomy meaning two extreme things. So it's either always or nothing. It's either one or the other. So this dichotomous thinking and how it impacts. But there are many different cognitive distortions that I do want to just make you aware of. There's personalization. Our team lost because of me, for example. There's shoulding and musting, being really self-critical. I should be losing weight. Mental filter. I'm terrible at getting enough sleep. It's this judgment that we're putting on ourselves. Overgeneralization. I will never find a partner. Magnification or minimization. It was just one healthy meal instead of saying, I did a really good job. I ate a very well-balanced, healthy meal. Fortune telling. If I don't stop this, my cholesterol is just going to be sky high. And comparison. All of my coworkers are just so much happier than me. Catastrophizing. This spot on my skin is probably skin cancer and I'm just going to die pretty soon. You know, like taking it to the extreme. Labeling. I'm just not a healthy person. Disqualifying the positive. Yeah, I answered that well, but it was probably just a lucky guess. So all of these different ideas are cognitive distortions, and black and white thinking sounds like I never have anything interesting to say. And we're going to talk about a few more of those, because while all of these come up a lot, I would definitely say black and white thinking requires a great deal of energy for us to not go into black and white. And so our ADHD brain that's often tired, that's on overdrive, hops into that little cognitive distortion more times than not. Increasing our self-awareness of this is the first step to improving it. And so that's going to be the focus of this episode. While we will talk about solutions toward the end, I really want to give you some good tools so that you're really clear, so you can start to understand, oh my goodness, I did it again. I became the Grinch of my brain again, and I don't really want to continue there. I was listening to Jared Halverson this morning and his podcast, Unshaken Saints, I think is what it's called. And he brought up a really interesting and very Jared Halverson thought process. And he quoted someone else that it originated with, but he kind of made it his own. The guy's name was Richard Pohl, and he wrote a paper called Liahona and the Iron Rod Mormons, I think it was what it's called, but Jared Halverson refers to us as saints, Liahona Latter-day Saints or Iron Rod Saints. In this paper by Richard Pohl, I think it may have been in the 60s, he talks about, I love the idea of what he puts out there. I think it's really helpful actually for neurodivergent brains to feel like we have a place in faith and in the church. And so I'm going to go ahead and explain that as best as I can. And then I'm going to just kind of repeat a little bit of what Jared said. And it goes perfectly with today's subject of all or nothing thinking. So Richard Pohl, and I'm going to do this very rough, but essentially he said that he saw there are two different kinds of saints. The first kind was like an iron rod saint, a person who hand after hand followed a very direct path, iron being strong, iron being immovable. They might be able to be considered like the letter of the law type of people. The gospel is the gospel. The commandments are the commandments. And we follow them. And we follow them because we know that God will bless us when we follow his commandments. And they find strength in that. And they find power in that. And they find clarity and determination and love in being iron rod saints. And on the other hand, there are Liahona saints who also love God, love the commandments, love being a part of his church and being called a follower of Christ. And they have a Liahona in their hands. They have a compass in their hands that points them in the direction they're supposed to go. But their pathway toward that direction may look any number of different ways of getting there, so long as they are moving directly north or directly west, you know, wherever they're being pointed. I think of the different ways that I go from the freeway to my house here in Springville, Utah, based upon what I need to drop off or what lights are red, what lights are green, what time of day it is, how direct I need the route to be, how indirect, how scenic, how not scenic. There are a lot of different ways that I know I can end right exactly where I need to be at my house coming off of the Interstate 15 freeway. And none of those ways are wrong ways. They're all getting me exactly to where I know I want to go. But that's more of a Liahona perspective of the gospel. Jared Halverson talks about how tithing in general is a principle that can be seen a little bit more iron rod like, whereas fast offerings can be seen a little bit more Liahona like. And his whole spin on it is that while Richard Pohl had a very dichotomous perspective on it, and I think he did like a follow up of that article that may have added some fluidity to it, but while he had a very dichotomous perspective, Jared Halverson suggested that we might be able to develop both sides, both a Liahona and an iron rod testimony, or that we could maybe point this philosophy or this idea at principles of the gospel and not necessarily at different people. He also brought up the point, which I really like, that as I put it in my terms, out-of-box programming, there are certain ways that people more naturally approach the gospel. And I think this has shifted for me personally. When I was growing up and I was in what he would consider like the creation element of my testimony, I was very iron rod-like. And I think there's a beauty to that. I was talking with my daughter the other day, and so many of you write to me and you have great questions. And so I asked my 10-year-old, I said, "Hey, what about primary is difficult for you with your ADHD? Like, what parts are really hard?" She looked at me, she's like, "Why?" I said, "Well, because someone's child is really struggling in primary right now, and they're about your age and they have ADHD, and they want to know, you know, why that is." And so I had some ideas, but I thought that I'd ask her. And she's like, "Mom, I love primary. I love the church because it teaches me all about Jesus Christ. And it lets me ask all the questions I want about, you know, heaven and God." And I thought it was very adorable of her to share that. So in her creation stage, as she is just developing these beautiful principles of the gospel, And we do our very best to let her know, listen, there's going to, you know, you're going to have questions and doubts and all of those things are totally welcome here in our home. Feel free to talk to us. We don't have, you know, there's never a scary question for us. We can handle it. And we always want to hear your perspective and how your feelings are, and you're working through your faith is individual and beautiful. So we always talk to her about that. But at this particular stage in her faith, it's very tender and sweet to see she couldn't even, you know, think that primary would be hard or wouldn't be good. And obviously, I think she was in a very elevated and happy state of mind when I asked her that question. This also reminds me of my time teaching sixth grade. I had students that, you know, maybe you would label teacher's pet, and I would be one of those people. I really enjoyed helping. I really enjoyed honoring and being obedient. And it may have led me to some people-pleasing tendencies that were unhealthy. But at the heart and at the root of it, my obedience and my desire to please and my very trusting nature of my elders, of my teachers, of my coaches was beautiful and was pure and was very faithful and hopeful. And in a world that constantly betrays trust, it's really a beautiful thing to think back upon that time when trust and intent was so naively pure. And I believe that if we truly trust in a God who is merciful and loving, they should be that for us. They can be that for us. They can be someone that we can lean upon in any circumstance, in any situation, and feel utter trust in them with that pure heart that they will have our back. What's interesting is while I was very dutiful and obedient as a child, I feel like on my own personal faith journey, I am much more active in my Liahona faith. Now, please don't misunderstand. Both are very, very important. But now as I have experienced more of life, I think it has pushed me into needing a deeper, more flexible way of faith. I went to the temple this morning and I'm reminded of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve both were given the same commandments. And Adam had that hold to the rod type of faith, the grasping to the rod, the very singular way of following the commandments. And Eve had her eye set upon becoming like her Father in heaven and progressing and being like God. And that meant progression, that meant children, that meant understanding the good and the bad. And that was not happening with that hand over hand element of the iron rod. And so Eve's decision in her innocent nature of trusting her brother, Satan, to partake of the fruit actually led her into more of a Liahona journey. And I feel like in many ways, the way that my life has unfolded, I have been forced to have to look at the bigger picture. Part of this certainly has to do with becoming a coach, becoming available to see multiple solutions and multiple thought processes for my clients, and also interacting with a variety of people inside and outside of the church and seeing their goodness and feeling God's love for them and recognizing that there are many ways to live a moral and beautiful and valuable life. It has really expanded my Liahona version of the gospel. And I love my iron rod principles and testimony as well. Jared Halverson offers us an idea. He says, okay, dichotomous doesn't work to our advantage. We're talking about black and white thinking today. So we need to learn how to do both. We need to learn how to be flexible enough and have self-awareness enough that we can live in both. We can see commandments or choices or different moments in our life that we need to say, you know what? Nope. This is black and white. This is iron rod type of faith. And you know what? This is Liahona type of faith. This is more flexible with our eye single to the glory of God. And, you know, we're talking through the lens of the gospel today, but this extends obviously to every element in our life. And when we understand that some things are made to be rigid and other things are made to be flexible, and that that can change, and that it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong, but they're just different perspectives. It takes off the pressure for us to have to make the only right decision. And it puts more hope and more faith in the process of living life, making choices, and learning from those choices in general. There's a really cool scripture in 1 Nephi 13, verse 5. The word tortureth stood out to me. This is talking about the great and abominable church. And essentially, this group is trying to destroy followers of Christ. And this group, it says, is torturing the saints. And many people would say that this might be when the apostles were being killed after Christ's resurrection. And they were torturing them, they were imprisoning them, etc. But my mind actually went to my faith journey. My mind went to a place where I was taken from iron rod faith and then starting to morph and change into more of a Liahona faith. And the torture, the discomfort that that felt as I was listening to a variety of voices and the voices, you know, outside that I was listening to often said, you are wrong. How could you ever believe this? You can't believe something part way. You have to believe it all the way or nothing at all. Which, P.S., I looked up that 1990s or maybe early 2000s song, I Want It All or Nothing at All, which was fabulous. It was a whole 2.5 minute rabbit hole that I thoroughly enjoyed. So when I was focused on only the voices that were telling me that I was invalid, that my belief system was invalid, that who I was invalid, it did torture me because those voices were trying to tear me down. They were not allowing me to have the space of experience. And what was interesting is that when I moved more into openness with God as my guide, that it still felt hard. It still felt a little bit uncomfortable. It felt different than iron rod faith felt like, but I felt okay. And I was able to still have this resonance of I am an important person, that I can take my space to learn and to grow. There was an element of hope in believing that there wasn't when I was listening to the voices of that great and abominable group that tortured me. When we think of it through the context of cognitive distortion, like I was talking about before, it requires a certain level of energy, capacity, time, emotion, stress. It requires us to tap into those things in order to resolve an issue. And sometimes it's unresolved and that feels terrible in our body too. And the alternative of black and white thinking, all or nothing thinking, dichotomous thinking is not a good solution. It's going to cause us to be disappointed every time. It's only a temporary shortcut that leaves us feeling very dissatisfied. As though, once again, I'm on the freeway and I'm trying to drive home to my house. And instead, I just pull off and I go inside of a gas station. And well, yes, it's a building, has a roof, it has a door, it has some food inside of it. And those things are similar to my home, but I could never live there. That's not my house. Like, it's a temporary solution that your brain's like, oh, well, we're home now. A home is a four-walled building with a roof over it. Well, no. Well, a home is a place that keeps you safe from the storm outside. Yes, but no, we're not going to do that. It's this this error, this thought error in trying to shorten the drive, shorten the process for saving fuel, for not having to go through the potholes of life and the twists and turns of the streets. It's trying to save you from all of the actual work that gets you to the satisfying ending of actually making it home, being in your nice warm bed, snuggling up, you know, whatever it might be. And so in the end, it really does not serve us. Okay, so what are some common examples that can illustrate black or white thinking? If you are a student, how about your academic performance or your work performance, right? You get a B on a test, automatically you're saying, I'm a failure, I'm terrible at school. Your relationships, okay? Someone with ADHD might have a disagreement with a friend and they think they hate me, our friendship is over, we're never going to be able to do anything ever again in our life, they'll never forgive me, right? That type of all or nothing thinking is just not going to help you solve a problem or increase your relationship with a person. Work performance, I kind of mentioned, I'm completely incompetent at my job, I never succeed. Personal goals, maybe you want to exercise every day, but you miss a couple of days and then all of a sudden, instead of acknowledging the progress you have made, you think, I'm a total failure, it's sticking to my goals, I'm never consistent, and they don't recognize all that they overlook all of the efforts they have made. Time management is a huge one. Someone with ADHD might struggle to complete a task within a certain kind of timeline. But as I say often, you're the boss applesauce. If you make the timeline, you can change the timeline. But we're like, I said that I'd have this done by Saturday, but it's still not done and it's Sunday. Well, who made the goal in the first place? Like, you can shift it. You can be more flexible. But black and white thinking is, well, I'm always late. I never get anything done on time. I always procrastinate. And they're not seeing, like, wait a second, this week was completely legitimate why, I took the time that I did or why I needed rest. So I'm just going to extend the deadline and I'm going to get the thing done. That positivity puts you into motion. This negativity of black and white thinking halts your motion, halts your momentum. I have one more. Health and wellness, for example, might have like a what they would consider an unhealthy meal and think, well, I've ruined it. I might as well give up now. And especially if you have really intense bad habits, particularly like pornography or food addictions or cell phone addictions, or, I'm not supposed to say addictions now, habits, deep-rooted habits, maybe gaming, for example, if you are falling, succumbing yourself to these type of habits, deep-rooted habits, all or nothing thinking is only going to fuel yourself into more shame and guilt and self-loathing. It's only going to help the Grinch become more Grinchy. And when we can see that we can be flexible, that we can fall into a bad habit again and still pick ourselves up and still recognize that there is progress, recognizing that is a realistic way of progressing. You have grand canyons in your mind with these habits, some of them that have been happening in your life for decades. And believing that you're all of a sudden going to never go back cold turkey is not always, and most of the times I would say not realistic. And so you are essentially setting yourself up for failure. Compound that with black and white thinking of, oh, I messed up, I'm never going to be able to fix this. That fuel, that energy, that negative self-talk is not the kind of energy that is going to propel you into achieving your dreams, into the freedom that you're desiring, into the clarity and the strength that you're desiring. That is more either giving up or passive action, or it's like this, I'd even say sometimes, the only way I can get through this is by like white knuckling it, and that's also all or nothing thinking, by like just willing yourself to get through hard things instead of saying, you know what, it's not all or nothing. I do have choice. And sometimes I might fall. Sometimes I might let myself down. Sometimes I might not reach my goal on the first try. And that's okay, because so long as I'm driving the roads and the streets, eventually looking toward my goal and making progress toward my goal, then I am getting there. It's really, really important that we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Our brains are wired for habit, and reprogramming that, rewriting that code takes time. And I promise you that rewriting the code with compassion and with the opposite of black and white thinking and talking is going to allow your progress to magnify and to progress so much more quickly and more effectively long term. White knuckling it through life, all or nothing yourself, those are all very short term solutions to a long term problem, a long term desire. And I am here as an ADHD coach to help you with the long term. As a side note, there were many different ADHD coaching programs that I looked into for many years, and a lot of them were executive function related, or tips and tricks and hacks related. And while I do feel like those have a place, we do need to get to baseline. We need to be able to function in order to progress. We need to have our most essential basic needs met, and sometimes hacks will get us there. I am more, as your coach, as a causal coach, I went through a program that was more interested in long-term solutions. And that's getting to know your brain. That's getting to know your emotions. That's full self-acceptance, understanding the context that you've lived your life through, where you came from, what outside and internal factors and cultures you are a part of that have developed and molded you into who you are. That is what we take a look at when I'm thinking of long-term solutions for ADHD. And all or nothing thinking leaves no space for you to develop new neural pathways in your brain. This happened to me as a kid, and so I'm always going to be this way. This happened once or twice in my life, so it's what I'm always going to expect, and I won't ever be any different. Versus, take a look at the context of your life. It makes sense why this is so difficult, and over time, you can improve. And then we add God's hand, we add Jesus Christ, we add Christ's atonement to this whole process that, you know, I'm just barely starting to understand. But I do know that there's massive healing and strength and perspective and love and integrity and worth when we see ourselves through the context of divinity. We add that to all of the good work that we're doing for reprogramming our brain, and I feel like it just intensifies our progress. So black or white thinking, not going to show up for you. It's just a short-term solution that leaves you more miserable. And it's trying to avoid work. It's trying to avoid discomfort and emotions that your brain's like, I don't want to. But then you end up feeling more miserable. So through the church context, we've talked a lot about this, but perfectionism kind of shows up sometimes. You're trying to reach a high standard. If you make a mistake, you might think that you're completely unworthy or not good enough, instead of realizing, hey, this is part of the job. This is part of mortality. And that's why we have the plan of salvation, is so that we can improve and repent, that no one expects us to be perfect. In fact, the plan was made knowing on purpose to not be perfect. Church attendance, right? You miss a week, or you don't complete your duties and your calling a certain way, and so then you just totally give up. Or you just like throw in the towel, or you just keep telling yourself how awful you are because you can never get the job done. My goodness, scripture study isn't this one that we hear a ton. And then, of course, the commandments too. We've already touched on that, but figuring out if we're worthy or not. And to give you an illustration, maybe I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I played soccer growing up. I played club soccer, and sometimes that would require me to play games on Sunday. And you have to understand that my soccer team, I know I talk about them a lot, but they were good, incredible people. I was the only member of the church on the team, but they were just great people. Many Christians, many Catholics, many very family-oriented players on this team. They were just like family to me. And playing on Sunday was not ideal, but it happened every so often. And I remember over a summer, we had been playing quite a few games, and we were going to do temple baptisms. And I told my mom, I just don't feel worthy to go to the temple. There's that black and white rod of iron type of thinking, right? And my mom said, hey, that actually isn't God's voice telling you that. It's the opposite. You are more than worthy. You are amazing. And God understands the flexibility of your life. And that was also like a decision that was made, you know, kind of by my parents and by me at that point. I was kind of following their lead. And I think it worked for our family for that time, and particularly for those, that particular team. It was, they were such a blessing. When we talk about like the positives far, far outweighed the negatives. So that's, you know, something that I can see in my life that has shifted for sure. We're all doing our best. Okay. Black and white thinking doesn't help anyone out. Dichotomous thinking just sends us into spirals. Something that comes up a lot of the time with my clients that have businesses is like, I want more peace in my life, and I want to spend time with my family, and I want to spend time in my business. But if, you know, I want more peace, well, then I guess I just have to cut out my business, and we're just gonna have to focus on my family. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. Let's take a look at the parts of your business that are energy sucking and energizing. Let's take a look at the parts of your family that are energy sucking and energizing. And let's see how we might be able to set some new expectations or put some new boundaries in, or let's go a little bit deeper. We don't need to just cut off things that we care about for the sake of more peace in our life. There's so much more flexibility than that. Essentially, our gauge is off in our brain with time, satisfaction, emotion, attention. And because that gauge is off, it is painful. It requires a lot of executive function for us to regulate. And so it makes sense why we go to black and white, why that shortcut seems so much better than actually working through the pain that our brain doesn't naturally like to do. And lots of people do this, but certainly neurodivergents that just have their brain on fire do it a lot. So as I'm ending here, some suggestions of ways that you can help yourself with your black and white thinking. It could be cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a form of therapy that helps you kind of see things in a different light. Puzzle coaching, what I do, helping you see a variety of different ways to maybe approach or view the circumstance that you're in. And that way, all or nothing thinking doesn't look like the only option. Mindfulness, being with yourself, deep breathing, become more aware of your thoughts. You become more aware of your emotions. Instead of just reacting, you can catch them and observe them and see them. And so that's going to increase cognitive flexibility over time. There's also identifying different gray areas, middle grounds. And in our family, we've had to do that, right? We have our rod of iron principles in our home. We have our Liahona principles in our home. And finding those Liahona, that's maybe some more of those gray areas of, well, I'm not quite sure. I still have questions about that, or I don't know really what to do. We'll take that on a case by case. Then it doesn't require an answer. It doesn't require a rod of iron answer, a black and white answer. It requires flexibility and learning as we go. But it also allows us to have really clear parameters of where our scaffolding is, where we are holding to certain laws or rules or regulations in our home. And that is very helpful for an ADHD brain too. Goal setting is helpful so that you know where you're going. If I get off the freeway and I don't know where my house is, I don't know the address, then I'm just going to end up driving everywhere and I'm going to run out of fuel, right? So having some goals every so often is helpful. Counseling, support groups, of course, mindful. I love in our group coaching program, being with other people that have ADHD and are going through similar problems, and hearing the coaching, but also hearing the struggle helps them see like, oh, how, what advice would I give them? Or that's so interesting. That's so similar to this particular element of my life. And so over time, we learn from each other as we observe each other getting coached and the support system, it's beautiful. So it's just important to remember that overcoming black and white thinking is a gradual process. We're in this for the long game. And when people kind of feel exhausted by that idea, I like to ask them, well, what's your alternative? And there might be an alternative. And also, I know that if you've been hitting your head against the wall, doing the exact same thing over and over and over in your life without seeing different results, it may be a time to zoom out, have a little bit more cognitive flexibility, that there may be one more than one way to get the result that you'd like. And that way might not be a short-term band-aid solution. That might require you to uncover some harder parts of yourself. And I want to remind you that I'm here to do that compassionately, that I'm not here to do that painfully, with shame, with judgment, with guilt. I am a soft place to land when you are ready for that. My one-on-one coaching is available to that. Mindful is a beautiful, affordable place to get that coaching. My DMs are open. Please email me as needed. I will get to those, you know, as best as I can. But this is a long road journey. This is a gradual process. Taking grand canyons of habits that we have formed in our life based upon our ADHD and reprogramming them takes some time. And working with a mental health professional, like a counselor or a therapist that understands ADHD, or a coach like myself, or some other coach that understands ADHD, that somebody that is experienced in understanding your brain and understands the neuroscience of neuroplasticity can be really, really effective in addressing and modifying the cognitive distortions we have, like black and white thinking. Know how much I love you, my dear friends, and I am always cheering you on. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called the ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at the Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.